Welcome to Minority Corner.
With Aneke.
And James. Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only it's more black, gay.
And ladylike.
There she is. I see you.
You know, keeping it simple. Sassy and simple.
I see you, simple sassy lady.
Simple sassy, plain and tall.
Oh, well, I'll take mine tall, not short. Ooh. This week on Minority Corner.
What are you talking about?
Well, I read two articles that have kind of rocked my world, so it might be you helping this little gay boy out, this intersectionalized gay man out with his life.
Out where? Out what? Oh, okay.
Well, Aneke, according to the Huffington Post, I am gay and alone. So
what? You're not...
Well, I am gay and I am alone. So.
It took a newspaper to tell you that you're alone? Were you like, I don't know what's happening?
Well,
Huffington
but
Post,
sucks.
Tell me.
Apparently, there's a Huffington Post article that's sweeping across the world and the airwaves. And just pretty much explaining why gay people are so lonely and so alone because they're so gay. But then someone wrote a rebuttal, and perhaps there's something that's missing out of this HuffPo article. Intersectionality.
I was going to say. Yeah, there we go, right there.
And other things that this article is sort of missing, and perhaps it's just a whiny little sad little swan song. So we'll look at it.
I'm not quite sure
about how I feel anymore, but I've read both, and I don't know. So let's figure it out.
Well, I'm curious to find out, because I have no idea where to even... The whole article sounds a little personal to be thrown it on a bunch of people.
You know? So, but they're backed up with facts and statistics and quotes, so let's take a look. These are not alternative facts.
No, they are not. I am ready to look at that. And we're bringing up some more non-alternative facts, a.k.a. facts.
Oh,
on my corner.
That's how we like to do it here. You know, y'all can go other places for your alternative facts. We believe in facts.
Fact facts. I'm going to be talking about the immigration raids. What's going on and what we can do, because this is some stuff that is going on right now, and it might not be so new.
Like, this has happened before.
Didn't you like my little tag? It sounded very, like, NBC, 7 p.m.,
this
nightly
is.
News.
Oh, okay. That's a good time slot. You gave yourself the good one.
Prime time, baby.
Yeah. You know, right before, you know, I don't know what the kids are watching. Before Modern Family or The Blackish.
Or and, actually, Jeopardy's at 7. I know this because I watch Jeopardy every day. But you know what?
Sometimes Jeopardy needs to move, because this is important. This just in, facts. Move out, Jeopardy. Question is, what is a fact? Find out on Minority Corner.
That's gonna clash with our background music.
Yes, we should.
Well,
I'm gonna chime
in.
Yeah, girl, let's do that. I didn't press stop recording at all. I thought we were done after your serenade. Yeah, let's get into it. Good idea. Spring break!
Titties out. Yes.
Were you ready for that?
Flopping around.
And then he's on spring break, for those of you who don't know. And for those of us who are out of the university sector, like myself,
it's one of those damn perks that you get when you work with students. You never leave the school system. I still think years start in September and end in June.
I just love the phrase damn perks. It's one of those damn perks you get. Like, it's like almost like a humble brag, or it's like a humble yay. A humble
it is.
Yay.
I'm just trying to be with the plebs, all of y'all who aren't rich in breaks like I am.
Oh, right? Yeah. I think we may talk about this last year, but I'm imagining, I saw that documentary Spring Break, so I know what you're going to get yourself into. I don't know which one of your friends is going to get shot in a bikini trying to rob a bank while singing Hit Me Baby One More Time, but
Every
I can't wait
year,
to find out.
I'm coming very dangerously low on friends.
Every year you're like, damn, I wish I would have learned. Oh, wow. Spring break! Hit me, baby, one more time. Boom, ba-dum, boom, boom. Well, see you next year, Susie.
It's very true. Spring break 2017, Oakland. Mm. We're doing it up. I'm wearing a cardigan. I don't have a bra. No, I do have
she
a bra.
She is reporting live. It's almost like move over MTV Spring Break. We got a Neke on the scene.
It is not exciting. There's a dog just laying here.
There are titties are in, and it is raining. I know. So get ready, everybody. Up next, I'm going to watch this old YouTube video of Christina Aguilera.
I've been watching The Voice. That's what my spring break has consisted
see?
Of.
See, I was on point. See, you were watching old videos of Christina Aguilera.
It was a little... Well, she wasn't on... She's not on it. It's Gwen Stefani right now.
Same. Well, still flashing back. That's how old we are.
I know. Gwen Stefani and Alicia Keys.
I have two... Oh, they're both on... They have two women on at
the
same time?
They got two women on.
What? Mm-hmm.
But
Revolution.
They still have their ratio of a blonde person and a black person. They just...
Okay. So, baby Steph's voice. Baby Steph, we're making it on there. But
trying.
At least the demographic... At least it's like 50% are women, so that's good.
Yes.
That's,
mm-hmm.
You know. I have two questions to ask you as a woman.
Okay, I am a woman, and I will try my best to answer your questions.
Well, one is also just because you're a hip woman, too, so you might know
I
this.
I try.
So I've been using, like the other millennials and young kids who are hip and into Beyonce, I've been mm-hmm. casually throwing around the phrase of, like, Becky around, right?
Yes, you know? Okay.
And there was this girl who was working at this office building that, like, I work at, and her name is Becky. And I was like, wait a minute. But she's this hip, like, young Latina. Why... Where does the phrase Becky come from? It made me question why I was using the term Becky. So,
okay.
Where does it come from? I like big butts? Or like,
no.
Oh,
well, yeah,
my
yeah,
God,
it's a part of it.
Becky. Is that a Becky?
Right. So Becky is one of those quintessential, and I hate to say this because it's stereotypical, but that's where it comes from. It's a stereotypical white girl name. Mm. So Rebecca, Becky, big in the 80s. A lot of children were born. If you come from a white family in the 80s, chances are you're a Jessica, a Jennifer, a Rebecca, or a Megan. There was millions of those.
I knew so many Megans and all of those names. Where does, because I was always using Stacy as the quintessential white girl name. Where does that name fit in? And ironically, I know a lot of black Stacys, so maybe it doesn't
work. I mean, there's
work.
Stacy Dash, who doesn't really count as either white or black. She's just a gremlin.
And there's also Stacy Cofield, who I went to high school with, and Stacy, who was in my orientation workshop the other day.
Oh.
It was black.
Shout out to those black Stacys. And there's a lot of black Rebeccas and Megans and Jessicas and Jennifers, too. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those names, you know?
Okay.
Like, that people just kind of have latched onto, and it's now, especially since Beyonce had her damn lemonade.
She's like Becky with the good hair. And so
that's
then,
what kind of made it blow up. But, oh my God, Becky, look at her butt, was the first one.
So maybe that's where Beyonce got it. That's what I was thinking, maybe that's where she got it from. Well, that mm-hmm. answers that. And no offense to all you Becky POCs. We're just trying to get some answers, find some facts.
Or white girl Becky's, you know what? You're doing
no
good,
hate.
Too.
Yeah,
no
as long hate. As long as you're not fucking with the beehive, because they will come after you.
You better have some bad hair, because
they will. Yeah.
All those Becky's with the good hair.
They are after you. They are. If you have a Wikipedia page, get ready, because that shit's going to be changed. They are going to blame you for all the wars and cancer. So, good job, Becky.
Be careful.
I have another thing. I did not realize I got this email, and it was like, get ready for Day Without a Woman. And I did it was my first email I got. So I am sorry, ladies. I did not realize that was happening. Day Without a Woman.
Yeah, it's so March 8th is the International Women's Day. It's always been International Women's Day. And the Women's March has co-opted it now to be a day without women. So they're encouraging women to boycott working and shopping unless it is at a person of color owned or woman of or women owned business.
Yeah, so definitely shopping
but
local.
They do recognize, which I highly am so glad that they did, that not being able to strike from work is a privilege. Mm-hmm. So if you can't take off from work, then wear red in solidarity.
Absolutely. I will say, and I do, I totally understand that. And it just makes me so mad how dependent our system is on capitalism and how, if you can't take off, how entrenched into the slavery machine that exists that you can't take off this one day. Because the women in Iceland, they striked back in the 70s or 80s, and like 90% of the women striked. Mm-hmm. Granted, they have a population of like 500,000, so it was
yeah,
like,
there's not that many people over there.
And it's a much more homogenous culture, so they don't have like the different, like we have so many levels and layers, so I get that. Right. But I would really like to, like, you know, next year, let's really strive for, like, let's increase those numbers of...
No, but check this out, James. Oh. A lot of school districts are closing because so many women work as teachers and educators that the day without women is proving that the educational system would crash if women just didn't come to work.
Good. I am glad. And also, it was, I read this thing in the video that I... It also, like, you know, because women do so many other things. Like, I'm not saying, like, every one of them is doing all the housework and stuff, but it's also, like, if that is, like, if you are, you know, carrying the major weight in the house, like, you don't do that stuff that day. Like, sorry, I'm not
you're
here.
You're still, like, you're still working.
Yeah.
If you do,
and you're not
you know,
paid for that, right?
No, not at all. So, I mean, solidarity to all those women that are going to be taking off or can't take off and wearing red. I'll be at home on spring break, wearing red.
Wearing red, a red bikini as she runs around robbing banks.
It's too cold.
You're just gonna be like, you're gonna be
it's
like a Robin Hood.
Cold.
That's you.
Don't put me up to it. I'm gonna be at home watching part four of blind auditions of The Voice in a red t-shirt with no bra on because why not? Let them titties be free.
Yeah. I mean, and if you are so daring, you go out and burn it as well. I don't know. I'm just
too expensive.
Oh, okay. She's like, wait a minute. I'll just wave it around a bit and then put it back in my, you know.
I will paper mache some fire and just like
I would,
throw my
I love,
bra around
can
it.
Can you please film that? Do like paper mache and then be like, ah, take this. Patriarchy.
It's gonna be my art.
And that's true. You can get artistic. Like, I love it. I love a good artistic oppression expression out of the oppression. Mm-hmm. How would you recommend us men folk who are allies and feminists, how do we participate? Like, I can't. It's not my day to take off.
Wear red.
Okay.
And then if somebody is, like, being like, damn, this sucks, be like, well, women... you know, don't make as much as men and do the same amount of work. Mm-hmm. Just bring up statistics if somebody is asking about it. Wear red. If somebody asks why you're wearing red, then, you know, explain. And then also donate to Planned Parenthood.
And, well, that's why I actually have more work on my plate because my colleague, who's a lady, she's like, I'm out. And so I'm having to help out. So it's putting, I'm already feeling it, ladies. Message
already
heard.
Feeling, that
feeling
yes.
it loud and clear. Ooh, man, we done fucked up. I have one more recommendation for everybody.
Yes.
Can we please send Ben Carson?
Oh my God.
Can we send Ben Carson a pamphlet
away?
About slavery?
Can we just send him away?
Oh, you don't even
I'm
want to give him a pamphlet?
This nonsense.
Can we give him send him away and a pamphlet so that way he can reflect as we send him to the island of like disappear?
Away. Yes.
The island of away. The island of you done fucked up and we don't want to see you again.
He is too much. I can't believe, for all y'all who haven't heard, one, get with the program, start watching some TV. But Ben Carson fucking said that slave ships brought over immigrants who worked for less. It's called Slaves Aren't Immigrants. They were brought here against their will. And two, work for less, more like work for zero ass money.
Work for zero. Work and be killed and be ridiculed and taken away from their families. There was not options or choice in this. And this is why education is so goddamn important because people can they're alternative facting our history and this is a problem. Like they're whitewashing and simplifying the traumatic centuries of slavery that exists. It was cruel, it was harsh.
Yes. And not to mention Betsy DeVos just recently said some shit about how the HBCUs were the first historically black college were the first exercising in choice of education.
No.
It's called no. Black people had nowhere to go. So they had to create their own schools.
Really cute that you thought like, where do I want to go for my education? And it's like what 1865. Like there was not a choice, sweetheart.
It's
it
like slavery ended and they were like, welcome black people. You are now accepted. Fuck no.
No, they were like, get the fuck out of my face. I'll shoot you. Get out of this.
Yeah, that's exactly how it went down.
It was like literally exactly.
And for 100 years until civil rights happened. And even then, they were like,
get
the fuck out of my school. I'm going to shoot you.
Yes, but little had changed. There was not a lot of progress. And this is why it is so important. Like, I don't, you know, I watched that documentary, Where to Invade Next by Michael Moore. And I might have talked about this last week. But again, the reason why... like Germans are not going to do another World War II scenario because they learn early on all the horrific shit that happened in World War II. They don't sugarcoat it. They say this is what happened. And so they grow with that on their weight and shoulders. We do not explore slavery enough in this country then.
Are hiding from it. Like, for example, I just was awakened to this fact that me personally feel disgusted that I even let this kind of gloss over. That a lot of times they, okay, like Sally Hemings, who is, you know, the slave that was with Thomas Jefferson, and they always go, Thomas Jefferson's mistress. And they would always say, like, these slave mistresses. But you know what? And I read an article that said this. Anytime a slave and a slave owner had a relationship, that is rape because a slave has no say.
Right.
No say against the master. So therefore, mistress, no, because choice is involved in that.
Right.
It is rape. It is purely only rape, and we need to describe it as such. And yeah, it's jarring and it's painful and it's awful to hear, but it, like you said, if we say it as such, we won't repeat the same weird shit that we're like all in.
And we might not have elected, if we would have learned this, we might not have elected a man who is sexually assaulted or bragged about sexually assaulting women, because we would have been like, damn, our third president was a rapist, and that is weird and not okay, right? Like,
right.
We gloss over the fact, like, how many of the presidents own slaves? We don't really talk about that. We're just like, oh, well, you know, they did the best they could, or
those were the times. No, fuck you.
He couldn't tell a lie, and he did not chop down that cherry tree. Like, ugh.
But he had some slaves. In fact, you were just talking about George Washington. He had a slave who kept running away. There's a whole story about George Washington's slave who kept running away, and they kept trying to find her, and she managed to get away, and they even put out a fucking newspaper ad being like, bring back our slave. Like, a lost fucking dog or some shit. Like, we need to be talking about this stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and it's just, we don't talk enough about the things that had been legalized and within our government, and just to, like, put it on blast to be aware of, like, when this shit starts creeping up, we can say, this is not okay. We used to do this. So get that man a pamphlet. Right. Let's print out some slavery pamphlets. Get it.
Why don't we just give him the pamphlet that was given to Abraham Lincoln?
That's true. Can anybody find that? That, like, historic pamphlet? Jesus. All right. Shall we get into the corners?
Let's do it. I'm ready to hear your corner.
All right. Let's get into it. Help me figure my gay loneliness out. I can't
handle this. This makes me too sad, James. That's beautiful.
Don't
want
to be all by myself.
James, you never sing in that register.
Oh, I just be, you know.
It's good.
You know, but I'm lonely because I'm gay.
No, I can't handle this because I don't know what to say, because you're not lonely. You got hella friends. You're always hanging out all the weekend time.
Well, according to Michael Hobbs from the Huffington Post, who wrote an expose called Together Alone, The Epidemic of Gay Loneliness. So there's an epidemic sweeping.
Depressing.
Hey, he didn't write this. Sometimes the truth is depressing. So there were two articles that were written, and big shout out to Danny Lum, who fed me these articles. But I read them in reverse because there's someone who wrote a rebuttal to it, and they're from Slate. And by the name of Ben Miller, he wrote an article in response to it called Gay Loneliness is Real, But Bitchy Toxic Culture Isn't the Full Story. So it gives you kind of...
Ooh, that had a lot of shade all over it.
So, and there's some truth to, like, both sides, and there's a lot of stuff maybe in the middle, right? So Michael Hobbs wrote this article and was talking about how he has, like, a lot of friends who are, you know, within the gay community. And also, I just want to preface that, sadly, this article misses a lot of what I've been talking about as well, is that it just focuses on the G and LGBT. And again...
So only gay men.
We throw around that word LGBT, but we're not being honest in what we're actually really talking about and who we're including into that conversation.
Yeah, which is problematic because...
Absolutely.
I mean, that's eliminating a huge chunk of people in the community. But I want
to, let's put a pin on that, because there's so much to come. That's a thing. So just prefacing that for all the folks out there.
But thanks for acknowledging that.
Always, yes. And so he has, like, all these different friends, and he interviews, like, a lot of people. And I'll say this point, and we'll post the article. I recommend folks read it. And, you know, he interviews, like, a lot of different, like, gay men from different walks of life. I will say, predominantly, most of them were white. Men. Mm. And, you know, he had come to this realization, like, he's a man in his 30s, and he came to his realization that, you know, his social circle had sort of disappeared. Like, his, you know, straight friends had wandered into, you know, kids and suburbs, and, you know, his gay friends had, you know, grown even more, struggling through isolation and anxiety, hard drugs, and risky sex. So,
oh, shit.
That's where his world was. And so he was interviewing men and his friends from different parts of, you know, the country. And there's some facts that, to, you know, back up in some ways of what he was talking about, you know, that public support of gay marriage has climbed up from 27% in 1996 to 61% in 2016. You know, we've gone from Cruising to Queer Eye to Moonlight, right? So our visual acceptance of the queer community. So why then are, you know, LGBT folks still so much more higher to commit suicide? You know, it's still, depending on the study, anywhere between 2 and 10 times more likely than straight people to take their own lives. Twice as likely to have major depressive episodes. Also just like physical harm, just like high cholesterol, high stress levels. So why is that? And then, like, he even looked at, like, in the Netherlands, where gay marriage has been legal since 2001, gay men still remain 3 times more likely to suffer from mood disorder than straight men, and a lot of other sort of stuff, and high suicide, you know, rates, and same thing even in Sweden, who they've had civil unions since 1985 and full marriage since 2009, and men who married men have tripled the suicide rate of men who married to women. So what is going on here? Like, here we have social acceptance on one level. So what's happening? And so, you know, he talks about in his article that, you know, there was this psychiatrist, Alex Kergahalian, from the Fenway Institute Center of Population Research and LGBT Health. He said that we see gay men who have never been sexually or physically assaulted with similar post-traumatic stress symptoms of people who have been in combat situations or who have even been raped. So, to growing up LGBT, like, even if you're in, like, a supportive family, that perhaps there's still traumas and stress that are still occurring. And that you're, like,
like, at school or work or just on the street.
Like, I think in the world that you are living in, that, like, although even 67, like, and, like, even thinking about this, you know, that, yeah, the population. And so, like, so a lot of this article is really just talking about, like, really, saying, like, wow, we're so, why are we still so depressed? Like, everything, you know, has changed, right? So that's what the article is saying. And I want to come back and circle and say, well, but X, Y, and Z. So,
okay, so let's put a pin in that.
We'll put a pin into that. So the article does acknowledge one thing where it's called minority stress. You heard about minority stress?
I haven't. Is it our sister podcast?
And they are stressed. They are stressed the fuck out. Could you imagine minority stress?
They're just like, oh my God.
But they're finding that now when they interview, you know, folks who tried to kill themselves, they don't necessarily say, like, oh, I did it because I'm gay. But they'll mention different things. They'll say, oh, stress of relationships, job, finances, but not necessarily from being gay. But if we look at, like, what minority stress is it's being a member of a marginalized group that it requires effort. So when you're the only woman at a business meeting or the only black guy in the college dorm, and you have to think on a level that members of the majority don't. If you stand up to your boss or fail to, are you playing into stereotypes of women in the workplace? If you don't,
ace
a test, will people think it's because of your race? Even if you don't experience overt stigma, considering these possibilities take a toll over time. I think about that shit all the time. Yes. I was giving an orientation today, and there's this guy giving me this weird look, and I just was, and I'm up there talking, and I'm just thinking, like, is he glaring at me because I'm gay and because I'm black and he doesn't like me? And so I'm thinking about this, that, like, Right. If you're a straight white dude, you don't think about that shit all the time. You don't think about it at all.
No, that's the thing. And the more intersectionalism that you have, the more things that you can pile on top of it. Like, half the time, I don't know if someone is angry because I'm a black person or a woman or a black woman or a young black woman. Right. Like, what?
Where? I know that you're angry at me, but why?
Yeah. Was it because I'm an asshole or you just don't like me?
So you have all these extra things that are playing into it, right? And mm-hmm. they do, like, they. We all have bias. There is bias that are playing into how they are perceiving you as well. And it's when that bias goes unchecked is when that is dangerous. Awareness is key. Mm. And so if you are an LGBT person, you are constantly actually having to be aware of, like, everything, like, am all of those things. And also, like, there's an awareness of, like, oh, if I'm slipping up, like, am I acting too effeminate or do I care? And it's just constant sort of, like, things. So think about that all the time. That's years and years of trauma that adds up onto you, you know?
So true. Internal crisis.
Yeah. And they mentioned there in this article, they talk about, like, you know, it's sort of like if someone is, you know, these are sometimes they're just small little moments, but if someone's, like, repeatedly punching you lightly in the arm, after 30 years, that shit might be bleeding.
It's gonna hurt. It's gonna be hella sore. Yeah. And it doesn't give a moment for it to heal.
Right.
We don't have a chance to heal because we're constantly bombarded by that
right.
shit.
And so, you know, they also, in this article, like, examine just sort of also identity formation that, you know, people want to try to find their communities, right? And so I guess what can happen mm-hmm. is, you know, you leave home and you're like, sweet, I'm going to go to Chelsea or Boys Town in Chicago or, you know, the Castro, I'm going to find my people. And what people, all of those people also have their own baggage, right? So there tends to be, and there's this stigma and there's this stereotype that, you know, gay men can be bitchy and mean and to each other and bully each other. You see it. We talked about this on the apps of, like, you know, no fats, no femmes, no blacks, no Asians. Right.
We talked about this.
And so in some ways it's like maybe they were bullied and then they became bullies themselves. And you were trying to come here and find this community and this Mecca and you didn't find it in yourself. Right. You didn't find that community. So there's that idea. And so then, like, you know, so there is that. And we'll come back and complicate that a little bit more. So this is where I started to lose it in this article. And I was like, okay, you had me. But so the article said that there are essentially two reasons why gay men are shitty to each other. One, we're men. And there's sort of, like, you know, this toxic masculinity, which I will say, sure, I can see that. Like, there can be, you know, toxic masculinity of men being around men, that there is still this testosterone and this sort of, like, you know, even straight men are just sort of mean to each other sometimes.
Yeah, it's the curse of our society that celebrates masculinity. It curses men as well because it forces you to put on this, like, fake masculine warlike battle attitude.
Absolutely. So then I'm just thinking, like, great. So then as a commute, stop doing that. So then, like, if the article is trying to, like, be like, oh God, I'm so sad, I'm so lonely. Well, then don't participate in that. And so that's where, like, a lot of this, like, I'm like, well, then don't participate. So then it says, like, the second reason that the gay community acts in this way on its members is how we're constantly, like, rejecting each other because we're so used to rejection. It's just like how we don't let anybody else in, right? And I say, okay.
Yeah, do you agree with that?
I think it's more interesting to say than why. But then why is the why of that? And let's get into that. That's more interesting to me than that.
Yeah.
So let's take the, you know, the bitchy queen, right? Who is, like, not letting you in. But that's an armor. Right, that is an armor that they have that they built up from, you know, being bullied, and it's a self protection. It's a survival thing. So for me, it's like I'm not so quick to wave my finger at them and be like, "You are ruining the community and you're being mean to me." It's like, huh? I'm gonna acknowledge what you're going through, that you're going through some baggage and some trauma, and let's work through that, you know. And whereas I feel like sometimes in this article, it's trying so hard to vilify the community itself,
right? Because I'm hearing these traits, especially the alienating of other people, that is universal. That is what it means to be a part of a group, is to be like, you can come and you can't.
Right, absolutely.
So I don't know if I would put the blame on the gay community on that
one. Well, and so, like I said, through all of this stuff, like, we then are at more high risk for, you know, suicide, loneliness, mental illness, and all that sort of stuff, right? And I think, like, masculine gay men tend to be affected by it. They have more anxiety. And possibly because they're trying to keep up appearances of that masculinity. In 2000, around 20% of gay couples met online. And also the way that we're interacting with each other is changing. By 2010, that was up to 70%.
Damn, huge increase.
And, you know, I was reading in the article, they had quotes of, like, different, like, younger folks who were just like, well, I just find it so much easier to, you know, meet and talk with people online. And, but then you're not getting any joy and satisfaction from it. I personally don't like meet. I'd much rather meet you at a bar. Like, I think there's something that is very powerful about, because there's mannerisms and stuff that you can't read from someone else when you're in person, and people are probably going to be nicer to you actually in person. And I think we're actually losing our humanity and losing our community and our gay bars and our way of connecting to each other. So again, if you're feeling that you're being alienated from your community because of online apps, then stop using them. So a lot of this is just like, well, then don't do that. Don't participate in it. Right.
Yeah.
And then it brings it to this fact. There was an interview where they found that 90%, they conducted this, you know, poll, and it found that 90% of gay men, so they wanted a partner who was tall, young, white, muscular, and masculine. Disgust.
90?
I want to see the breakdowns of those numbers, because...
Who was polled?
We need to I don't even care who was polled. We need to have a conversation. Gay community, we need to have a meeting. There is a meeting in the men's room. I will be back real soon. So that's weird.
What?
So that's weird. And so then, so it's probably, okay, so then we need to not participate in that, right? So we need to readjust how it is that, what our desires are, because most people don't fit into that. So then no wonder you're unhappy, because this is what you're trying to get. You're not that, and you don't feel then, like, so of course you're going to be unhappy, because you're trying to get something that you don't feel like you are, and you don't feel like you're even worthy of, and then why are you even trying to go after that? So no wonder you're unhappy.
Right!
So,
and not to mention, you are seeking something that you feel like you inherently don't have, because that's a small percentage of people that have all of those characteristics.
Exactly. So again, I'm going to put a mirror up, you know, as Michael Jackson said, look at that man in the mirror. So as I'm reading the article, it's making it harder for me to feel sympathy towards, like, this person or myself. Am I supposed to connect to this article and be like, oh, poor me, I'm so sad? Because I'm just like, wait a minute, I need to fix this myself. Yeah. These are all things I can fix within myself. So,
easy fixes.
Yeah. And so, you know, so we talked about that. So, you know, and we, you know, the author of The Velvet Rage, you know, he has this great quote. I highly recommend the book, The Velvet Rage. Every gay man should read it. It is problematic because it kind of only focuses on, it doesn't really also bring in intersectionality at all, but you can kind of, you can draw your own connections of how that kind of works for you.
It's a good start, would you say?
It's a good starting point. But every gay or I would, because I don't think it's the same for lesbians. I think they go through something else, so I don't know. But check it out. The author said that we often live our lives through the eyes of others. We want to have, you know, man after man, more muscles, more status, whatever brings us, you know, this fleeting validation. And then we wake up at 40 exhausted and we wonder, well, is that all that there is? And then here comes the depression. So you kind of have...
Man, that's... God.
So you kind of have this, like, as a gay man, you kind of have this idea of, like, I'm either going to have the fairy tale life that I see on TV, where it's this perfect family that you see on TV, or, you know, this gay life that seems like, you know, there's no romance, you know, in pornography. It's just like, boom, muscled, ripped. So you have these two ideas that are very... And so if you're not getting either one of those or fitting into those, so obviously depression is going to start sinking in. So, and then just kind of brief, a lot of, you know, and a lot of laws have passed. We've had, you know, gay marriage has, you know, been passed, but yet, you know, there's not been a huge decrease in, like, the amount of suicides that have happened. There's not been a huge sort of, you know, decrease. And, you know, a lot of things that some LGBT folks have is something called avoidance. So,
oh, what's that?
Well, I think a lot of minority stresses, our sister podcast, they could vouch for this. They did an episode about this. But avoidance is
sounds familiar.
You know, it's like when you know that something like if I'm in high school and I know that if I go down that hallway I might get called a faggot, I'll avoid it.
Oh, you avoid it. Yep.
And so it's sort of like I think we all kind of maybe avoid certain situations or certain peoples because we don't want to be attacked for who we are. The problem is that we don't really, then we spend a lot of our life avoiding and not feeling things. In some ways, the hurt is kind of important and part of your process of healing through it. And it sucks and it's shitty, but you've got to kind of like push through it and to a healthy standpoint, right? You know?
Yeah. I mean, I hate to say this, and like my comparison is obviously stupid, but I was bullied as a kid, not just because I was a weirdo, you know,
right.
like someone who didn't fit in. I was a nerd. But I look back at it and I'm thankful because I was able to develop certain strengths in my personality for it. So it's one of those things where you're kind of like, yeah, avoiding is easy and it's taking care of yourself, but also going through the hardship can really develop you in certain ways. But I really am hesitant to say that because I feel like some bullying is just violence and to that past level of like...
Well, and actually the article kind of talks about that of like, you know, well, when you are bullied and then you tell a teacher and they just kind of shrug it off. And, but then you're sort of used to like bad things just kind of happen to me and you don't have like a way of really dealing and processing it. And of course my answer is, you know, therapy. Like again, get your ass into therapy the moment that you're able to, because we, a lot of gay men, because you're also men, hyper, you know, masculinity, and we also don't learn how to deal with our feelings because we spent so much of our life avoiding them and trying to like, you know, of course, as a survival instinct to like push through it. But now as an adult, revisit those feelings of those painful feelings or whatnot, because it's going to make it so you're going to be so detached. You're not going to, of course, your relationships are going to be so detached. Right.
Right.
So then let's get to the rebuttal. So Slate, Ben Miller was like, hold up, wait a minute, you know.
Hold up, wait a minute.
Let me put some realness on it. So the article, you know, Ben was like, okay, this article is, you know, has lots of descriptions of isolation and drug use and self-hatred among gay men. And, you know, but he said that, you know, it's really ambitious to try to name, like, any one pinpoint. Because, like, the article kind of in itself blames the gay community for its isolation and loneliness, that we just kind of cycle into it, that we're not why are we going after these, you know, things that are not bring us happiness, like these drug infilled worlds and, you know, all this sex, like, come on guys, no wonder we're so lonely and these apps. But it kind of misses like a lot of things. So, again, the perspective was mostly of gay men and lament and like, oh, of gay white men specifically, right? Every once in a while kind of, you know, touches on some like minority issues or whatnot. But I think like a lot of it is also just like, you know, we're kind of, maybe we have like the wrong goals, right? You know.
Oh.
Yeah, like... I guess like in the sense of like, you know, why are we trying to aspire for that cookie cutter family thing? Like perhaps like, I think part of the beauty in being queer is getting to make up the new rules, because things like, you know, marriage is also like been a thing that's been redefined from in the last, like, I mean, it used to be just like, hey, you're my property. Right. And it's been changed over time to incorporate ideas of like love and whatnot. And maybe like defining it for yourself instead of like looking at this cookie cutter thing of what you think it's supposed to be.
So getting down to the root of it and trying to change the ideal to be more inclusive and open.
Yeah.
So people aren't looking for this one size fit all ending.
Right. Because like, here's the thing. So much, at least in the last 10 years, has been a fight for gay marriage. But like, you know, we've talked about this before. I feel like that was that's the last thing we should have been fighting for. And I say that because what about, you know, LGBT youth who are overly, you know, represented in the homeless population, right?
Right,
I went to this event the other night, this fundraiser for the Ali Forney Center, and they are, one of their big causes is they fundraise for LGBT youth specifically. And they had the speaker, His name is David Mixner. Do you know David Mixner?
I don't, but inform me.
He is, I'm not going to go into full detail because I watched an entire show about him last night. And I'm just
excuse.
Well, no. I just mean that, like, he apparently, like, he helped in the movement for the moratorium on Vietnam and was helping to, like, he was one of the main organizers. And similar to Bayard Rustin, that they were trying to, like, shut him down because he was, like, gay. So he took, like, a backseat to it.
Yeah.
But, and so then there was, like, songs about, he would tell a story, an anecdote about it. And then there'd be a song, someone would sing a song that represented that. And then there'd be, like, a dance number or whatever.
Oh.
And then I forgot it was a LGBT youth homeless fundraiser until the guy at the end said that. And then I was like, wait a minute. I looked at the stage. There was a black guy and a black girl. And there was 15 choir singers. The black man was leading. The black man was leading. What's that song about, like, not I'm Proud to Be American, but one of those, like, this land is your land.
This land is
our
land.
So it's like a beautiful rendition of that. Okay. And he was leading it. First, he's the only black man, only POC that I saw on the entire show was, like, at the last, like, 10 minutes, right?
Oh, my God.
And all these people. Uh-huh. And I just was like... it just, like, reminded me of just, like, liberal elitism at its worst in New York City.
Like, how we were just talking about this in the last episode, the liberal media being kind of a myth because it's not inclusive.
Right, because, like, listen, like, if you're having a, it would have been nice to have some of those youth maybe on stage singing right at the very end.
Yeah, were they there?
I don't think so. And so I think we all just, like, you know, shelled out all this money to go to this event, and we get to go home and pat ourselves on the back and not really, like, statistics, you know, 45% of homeless youth are LGBT and 65% of homeless youth are POC. And
so for me, to have cross-section.
Right, exactly. And so to, like, have such a white show, and I know, like, his show wasn't about it. It was about, you know, his journey through being a protester and all that sort of stuff. And so,
but
just, like,
still,
you could have...
Like you say, you look at the extras. During the Vietnam War, it wasn't only white people fighting.
Right, yeah. And so I just, you know, I found that very problematic. And kind of goes in line that the article kind of misses the other, you know, sort of intricacies of it. And I would challenge the article on this, that, like, for myself, like... I think that if you are around, if you're like, oh man, my gay friends are so mean, maybe they're not your friends.
Yeah.
I would say that. My gay friends are hella nice.
Yeah.
And are, from what I understand, not having substance abuse issues, are in some beautiful, loving relationships, just as much as my straight people, my straight friends are. So maybe you just didn't find your right niche. Like, I found a very supportive, loving community in San Francisco, in the drag community. I didn't find it bitchy. I found it, you know, supportive. Maybe if you're just hanging out in Fire Island and WeHo and, you know, with the Castro gays, then maybe you might find that. But, like, find people that maybe are going to support you, because I know swaths and, I don't know, coddles of, what's, like,
coddles.
A word for group of people?
A gaggle? I don't know.
A gaggle. I know a gaggle of gays, like, all around, who are incredibly supportive.
It's so true. And I think that you can translate that, like, if, especially by the time that you get into your late 20s, in your 30s, you start to realize who you really want to be surrounded by. And if you feel like your friends are toxic and are making you depressed and making you, like, feel sad and lonely, time to reach out.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would say. You know, I, you can also open your heart to this community that you're a part of. You know, we're all going through shit. And I think that's what the article does touch on. There is trauma with growing up gay and growing up as a minority in any sense. So there is trauma. So it's like, take that in mind, that this person who's being bitchy to you, like we said, it's their armor. So don't take it personally.
It's a wall.
Handle your own, and also handle your own shit, right? Go to therapy, figure it out, and be brothers and sisters to each other. Don't hate the gay, hate the game. Right?
Ooh, look at you. And, like, there's so many different, like, outlets. Like you said, outside of, like, apps, there's, you know, the gay bar scene, the cultural community centers.
The community center, yeah, the LGBT center. Every city has one. Get involved.
Go to, like, a show. You know, there are ways to reach out and find people, grab people, find that community.
And I don't want to say that this person in the article is being a victim, but I also have, like, I'm not trying to be mean, but I have a tiny violin for, I think it would be different if it was, I would say, like, a black gay man who wrote this, or a black lesbian, or a Latina lesbian. Like, I just don't have, like, I'm more interested in the people who are the most oppressed and hearing their stories and hearing their ways. Because, like, you know, like, they're way further down there and have other experiences that are just so much, you know, I don't know. It's not like, I don't want to invalidate his feelings that this writer had.
Yeah.
But I do... So I say stop participating in it. If you feel like, you know, you're not liking things about the community, there are ways to help shift and to change it. Like, all the things that you said, we have choice. We have power in our thoughts. So it's like, if you're feeling like you're being judged by a lot of people, you're probably also judging a lot of people.
Yeah, it's
so
true.
You probably need to look into things like meditation, seek counseling, read some books. Don't let your negative thoughts consume you. If you are feeling lonely and worthless, then that is stuff that is within inside of yourself. And there's no one outside of you that's going to tell you otherwise. As RuPaul says, if you don't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love anybody else?
Can I get an amen?
Can I get an amen?
It is so true.
You go. Yeah.
I just really wanted to point out the fact that you said, if you feel like people are judgy around you, then you're judgy too. You attract a lot of people by demonstrating characteristics. Like, if you feel like you're constantly finding friends that are bitchy and mean, maybe take a look at what you're saying. Maybe take a look at how you act in a group or a community, because you attract about what you put out. So maybe start being nice. Start being more generous. Start being more caring, you know?
That's kind of like the basis of, like, I think a lot of what I agree with too, of like, start being nicer to other people, because you are the average of the five people that you see the most, right? And take a look at that, and you have choice and power, and maybe you could help influence those friends. Or hey, if this is not the right community for you, find a different community. And you know, I also think it's like, perhaps letting your sexuality define you that much. Like, I don't feel like being gay defines who I am, you know? So maybe it's like time to find, what is it that you really love to do? What is it that you feel like you are put on this earth to do? Is it to be a counselor, to volunteer and to help other people, to be an artist? What is there? Maybe finding that other outlet will give you more oomph, more
zha-zha. Right. Like, I mean, I'm a black woman, and I've always kind of yearned to have more black women friends, but that doesn't mean that my friends that I have right now that aren't black women aren't worth it, you know? Like, they relate to me in a certain way. Like, if you're a potter, go pot. Go find some people that are into ceramics. Maybe, you know, reach out, and then maybe you will find that awesome community of the gay community that you're searching for, you know?
Absolutely. Because there are, like, gay, like, you know, softball leagues and gay pottery leagues, gay bowling leagues, whatever there
is. Gay pottery leagues?
It's there.
I'm going to pot this plate
today. We love making pottery.
I just like the league.
So, there's a league. We better win. So, my question to you is, if you had a genie and there was no limit on what it is that you could do, what would it be? There's, you know, there are no finances is not a problem. Ability to take classes for that thing, if that's what it requires. If you had a genie and you could do anything it is that you want to do, what would that be? And if it's to have a lot of sex, then go do it and be a porn star. Go do it, right?
Yeah, but be nice to the people that you're having sex to.
Exactly. But if it is that you need to be loved and adored, again, finding anything outside of yourself that depends on other people, you will constantly be searching. So maybe it's that you're sad, and I don't mean to be like mean or anything, but it's like, look on the inside for those things that you are looking for on the outside. So just to wrap up, you know, the article seems to really misunderstand a lot of like how minority stress really works. It doesn't really take into consideration, you know, it talks about how much that, like, you know, marriage. But again, he had this one quote, the guy with the rebuttal, he said, you know, his friend said, it feels like someone, like when gay marriage got passed, it feels like someone I don't know gave me something I didn't want. And now I feel like I have to use it or feel ungrateful.
No, it's an ugly sweater gift.
It is. Because gay marriage passed, it's sort of like now there's this heightened thing now with gay men that they're like, oh, I have to get married, otherwise I'm a failure. So now we have the same stresses that straight people have.
Yay!
I didn't ask for that. And also, this article, it ignores... the decades of beautifulness that gay and queer people have done over the last few decades. We have we have marched, we have come together, we have overcome, like, you know, AIDS and HIV to a certain, I mean, it's still here, but we came together and fought for rights.
Right.
The article also doesn't really acknowledge, like, who is most at risk from, like, HIV AIDS, and that's the Black and Latino communities, and there's other things going on in there. So it kind of just really misses the mark. So I say, like, this is just one side of the cookie, or what did the kids say?
I don't know what the kids say, but it is multifaceted.
And so, like, I think the problem was this article tried to say, this is everything, as opposed to, this is my experience, and this is what I'm going through, and what are, and then asking a question at the end, as opposed to saying, this is the definitive, I'm so sad. Because we've such, we have told beautiful stories.
Right.
We have triumphed over adversity. We are athletes. We are potters. We are poets.
Yes.
we are fabulous in so many other ways. And I think that, like, I read that article and it made me feel so sad. And this other one was like, hold up, wait a minute. We've done a lot of other great stuff.
It is so true. I think what you're bringing up is beautiful because, one, it's like, yes, there's a lot of minority stress going out there. You can acknowledge that, give yourself, like, allow yourself that. But then on the flip side, you gotta not dwell in it. You gotta live your life to the best that you possibly can and try and fulfill yourself, you know?
Absolutely.
This is all we get. We might as well fucking search within ourselves to find out what we want.
I love that. You got me excited. I didn't have something else to add to that. Just when you said that this is all we get, I was like, ooh, yeah, girl. Because it is. This is not a dress rehearsal. And
this
it's
is
like,
all we get.
Again, move through, like, and it's, I know it's a very privileged standpoint for me to be at, but I also work to get here of, like, I move through the pain. I move through it on a daily basis. I have thoughts that come into my brain, but I'm not going to let that sort of get to me. And so it's like, I think there are truths in that other article, but I say, like, don't let that be the end all be all to your story. And if you don't like something, then change it. You have power to change your own community and change the other people around you. And that starts from yourself. And also to look outside of, like, maybe that cookie cutter dream isn't what you want. Right.
Yes.
Like, that's part of the beauty of being queer. Maybe we end up, you know, not having kids and families or whatnot, but we're able to do other beautiful artistry type stuff and heal the world. So
there we go. I love it.
That's it. So I don't know. Am I sad and lonely?
Are you, James? You don't seem like it to me. You seem very joyous. And I'm with you. So technically you're not alone right now.
True. I think I'm doing okay. But this article had me think, I was like, wait a minute. But, like, I think I'm doing okay. And I am, you know, living my dream, living my truth. And it's a constant journey and a constant struggle. But like, don't let this article define you, everyone. If you read this article, don't let it define you.
Let it just move on by. All right, it is my corner.
Back to you, Aneke. I'm going to scratch my nipple.
Sure. And he actually is. He's doing it. He's lifting his nipple up high enough in the Skype that I can see it.
I'm trying to get it on the microphone. I'm trying to get them to hear it.
I can't hear you through that microphone, but I'm probably going to have to edit that out because it's probably going to be super loud.
scratch. Okay. Tell me about these raids.
Okay, so we're going into immigration raids.
Switch it up.
So, everybody knows that Trump... So, basically, recently... So, let me get my priorities straight. So, first of all, Trump has been Mr. Anti-Immigration. So, he tried to instill that Muslim ban, which the ACLU and several federal court judges were able to
knock it down.
So he just released a new one now, and it has six countries that are still targeted. I believe that the Iraqis are now off the list, but still, it is a Muslim ban and is targeting Muslims. And we all understand this, hate this. ACLU is gearing up again for another fight. But on the On the flip side of that, there are a lot of immigration. The ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, has been trolling the land looking for undocumented immigrants, which is mostly targeting Latino community members. So I'm going to go through a little bit of what's been going down.
That is a waste of my tax dollars. I just want to say that knowing that someone's out there trolling the neighborhoods looking for trouble,
it's
you
a fucking
could be doing other
waste.
Things.
It's a it is a big goddamn waste. If you don't care about people and you only care about money, it's a waste of your money.
Yeah, absolutely. Think about your money. Wasting it.
Also, why you listen to this podcast, but welcome. I'm glad you are. So, okay, so about 2 weeks ago, the immigration officials finally acknowledged that they arrested about 680 immigrants in a five-day period.
Jeez, no.
Yeah, so the raids were conducted in Los Angeles, Chicago, Atlanta, San Antonio, and New York City.
Those are sanctuary cities. They can't do that.
But now I want to point out that ICE, which is what they're called. I don't know if people actually call them ICE.
I think they do.
Okay.
Like, get the ice on it.
Yeah. So, which sounds too cool for something terrible. But so ICE has been spotted all over, including Alameda, California, which is where I'm from, which is the tiny little stupid island in the Bay Area. I shouldn't call it stupid. A lot of people like it.
It's not stupid.
It's not stupid.
Delightful.
It's great. I'm from it. Yeah. Everybody,
you can
your
say
hometown.
It. You can say that. Like, yeah. I call Fairfield, California, I call it Squarefield.
See?
Can say that. But if you said that, I would probably break down in tears.
And that's exactly
and like,
how I feel about Alameda.
I have to get new friends because
that
she's being toxic.
That
I don't
is
need
exactly,
this in my life.
And I'm not going to knock Fairfield just like how you didn't knock Alameda.
Because I love it.
Everybody has their hometown and everybody feels a little way about their hometown.
Absolutely.
And the reason that I bring that up is because Alameda is not a major city. It is small. It is next to Oakland. It is next to San Francisco. So the fact that ICE officers are being spotted there means that they are all over the area. So ICE officials arrested some immigrants in private residences. There were others that were arrested on busy streets in plain view of the public, triggering a confusion and panic in immigrant communities. In fact, there was even a story that there were some immigrants that were arrested by ICE officials while a school bus drove by. So children were seeing this. So
this is breaking my heart. They're seeing like families and friends and living in this fear.
It's disgusting. And it's targeting Latino communities on purpose. It is doing things like they are doing this in public to send out a shot warning.
To send a message.
It is crazy. So the ICE has stated, though, they say, oh, we're just targeting criminal aliens convicted of crimes, including but not limited to homicide, aggravated sexual abuse, sexual assault of a minor, lewd and lascivious acts with a child, indecent liberties with a minor, drug trafficking, battery assault, DUI, and weapon charges. Now, I want to break down that thing.
Yeah, because I'm wondering, do you have, like, I have so many questions about this. I know you're going to break down, but I just, like, okay. But I said, I'm just like, what are the actual facts behind the numbers of that? Because I question all of that. Because from what I know and understand, and which makes sense, if you put yourself in the immigrant's shoes, you're going to be a model American person. You're going to, like, you don't want to attract any attention to yourself. So it's like, immigrants tend to not, I'm not saying that they don't, but they tend to not do a lot of crimes because they're just here just to live
Hello?
And to work.
Let me break this shit down.
Okay.
Because first and foremost, they go criminal aliens. One, we have decided as a community that we're not calling immigrants or undocumented aliens. All of a sudden, that word triggers other different strange, not us, right?
Fear, yeah.
Adding criminal on top of that being the first part. And then that's another thing that I also want to point out is you are now from the first shot that you're saying in the statement is criminal alien. So now you are associating wrong, bad, criminal with alien, other, different. And then after that, convicted of crimes, which is double speak because criminal aliens convicted of crimes. If you're a criminal, you're going to do crimes. So what's the point of anyways? And then on top of that, they say including but not limited to. What? Which is that foggy gray area, meaning we can arrest whoever the fuck we want to because we've already said including but not limited to.
Right. And like, but how are they identifying who these people are? How do they know? Sounds like racial profiling.
If you have done homicide, aggravated sexual abuse, sexual assault of a minor, your ass is already being convicted. If you are a citizen, a visiting person, some scrappity do, it doesn't matter. You shouldn't be doing this, right?
Yeah,
and then
right.
also to lump into this group DUI. Now, I know some people that have gotten a DUI, and that is not grounds to be fucking booted out. I think it's terrible. Don't drive under the influence.
Don't do that. No.
But it is way more regular than homicide.
Yeah. And to lump that into that category of criminal, of like quote unquote criminality.
Is already starting to, and then the whole statement as a whole is putting into minds of citizens who are already scared and weird about immigrants. You are basing it in criminals. You're basically just saying any immigrant is a criminal.
Yeah, and it's making people think that, like, any immigrant they see or people who are being detained have done one of these things when it's not even proven. And I don't even know, like, when it comes to, like, the court of law, like, what rights these people have, like, the rights of the attorney. And, like, I can't imagine much. I mean, 97% of people who've been in prison, who are in prison, never even had a trial.
And these are citizens.
Yeah. Yeah, so, those are citizens. So imagine people who are, like, you know, immigrants and being detained.
Right. So I really wanted to bring that statement up because a lot of times, especially in the world of alternative facts and all these things, we need to look at the language and what that paints as an image. It may not be as simple and obvious as Ben Carson saying some dumb shit. It may be actually something as sinister as that statement that the ICE put out that triggers certain aspects in community people and people whose fear might pick up on that. And it's done on purpose.
Well, it reminds me of when you talked a few weeks ago. I mean, the ICE to me are just the new Texas Rangers.
Yes.
It is giving them free liberty to do the same thing again. Get the pamphlets out. We need to create some pamphlets about Texas Rangers and pass them out because it's the same sort of thing. And to create fear. And this is the same thing. I know everybody likes to, like, you know, paint correlations between, you know, Nazi Germany and all this sort of stuff. But they did the same. This is the same shit that was happening beforehand. It didn't just all of a sudden. It wasn't just like Hitler was in power, that fire happened and he got all the power. And then the final solution. It was in different stages and steps.
Thank you, because that is the perfect segue into my next step, is that I'm going to give you a little bit of history, because these immigration raids are not new. Oh. So a lot of people like to, and especially this has been the irritating part for me as a woman of color who has faced racial profiling in the time of Obama, that this is not all because of Trump. This is not... It did not start with Trump. There's a reason that Trump was allowed to get elected is because this shit has been bubbling. So mass raids and deportations are not new. Obama deported 2.5 million immigrants, more than any U.S. president before him.
Mm.
And I love me some Obama, but he also
signed Side-Eye Your Heroes.
He also signed a $600 million bill that increased the militarization of the border. So this is stuff that is boiling. George W. Bush used immigration raids as a centerpiece for his immigration enforcement. So this has been going on, and you can think about, the Texas Rangers were terrible, that sparked it, but this shit has been bubbling all the way through until now, including Obama, who everybody loves.
Yeah.
So we need to look at some of these tiny, these policies that go through the radar without us noticing, and we'll light the fire of these sentiments that will get us to the place that we're at right now.
And maybe because I, you know, something that keeps coming back to me, because I'm putting myself into like a, you know, I'm doing a lot of taxes right now. So I just keep thinking money, and I am paying for, I am paying for these fucking raids that I don't agree with. And a lot of my money is going to this militarization bullshit. And what pisses me off is when they want to cut things. Like if you look at the breakdown, and other countries actually give you a breakdown of where your money actually legitimately goes. We don't actually get to see where our money goes, and we need to, so I want to see the receipts of it. I want to see where it goes to.
Exactly.
Because, like, so, like, because if you actually look at it, the shit that they try to cut when it's like, oh, education and the arts, it's like literally like 15 cents of your like taxes are going to that, right? Or like,
right.
It's such a small, like a, like not even, a, it's like 5 cents like Planned Parenthood, right? But then all this other money goes into shit like this that I don't even want. So I'm not, I don't want to pay for this anymore.
Exactly. To, it's like to, when you donate money to a college, you get to designate where that money goes to. I want my fucking donated tax dollars. I want to designate it to certain parts of this community. I want my roads to be better and I want my schools to be better. So I'm going to give my money to that instead of fucking putting more guns into hands, you know,
and especially this immigration, like this war on this war, two things that are useless, war on drugs and war on immigration that we've spent way too much money on.
Right.
It's losing. You're not, it's like, it's just not, it doesn't work. It's not working.
It's not working.
We're wasting money.
Who cares? Immigrants make our country better. Anyway.
Everyone's an immigrant. Which, okay.
Right.
All right.
Except for Native Americans. So
exactly.
Now that we are here and we know a little bit of history, how we got here, what do we do? Right.
Yes.
What do we do as undocumented citizens? And what do we do as ally citizens to help each other? So first of all, local radio stations have been regularly announcing police checkpoints. So if you hear one, maybe take a break from your outrage posting. And
you
then
mean be useful? You mean put social media to use? Girl, this is too revolutionary for me. See y'all next week. I'm out. She asking too much.
Maybe just take a break. Instead of posting that thing being angry at whatever, post.
Yeah.
Post some insight. Say, oh, hey, I just heard that this station, KW blah, 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 is letting people know about police checkpoints. So use social media to that advantage. Going off of the social media thing, hashtag Migra Watch, MIGRA Watch, hotlines, they warn if there's been a raid nearby. So if you see a raid, if you hear a raid, just like a package or a left unattained bag in a airport, see something, say something. So
yeah,
use hashtag Migra Watch if you see something and you want to post it on social media. So, and I've said this before on some of our other things, but the sanctuary movement, we've talked about churches that are sanctuaries, schools that are sanctuaries, all of this has been growing. People are really latching onto this. So support your churches, your schools, promote them, your restaurants, if they are a part of the sanctuary movement. And I'm going to do it right now.
Ooh.
So if you live in the Oakland area, I would highly suggest going to eat at Ba Bite, B-A-B-I-T-E. It is a Mediterranean food restaurant. It is delicious. I've been there. Very fresh.
Sounds
very
delicious.
Good. And it is a sanctuary restaurant. So it is employing and supporting immigrants that are susceptible to the ICE. So go eat there. And then do the same if you find out that another restaurant, another church, or another college is a sanctuary, then promote it.
I have a question, but I'm scared because, like, does that now mean that these restaurants will now get, like, raided? How does that
work?
They're
protected. So the
because America loves to protect a business.
Yeah, by them, well, they're not protected by America, it's like the laws, but by the owners of these restaurants and schools and such saying that they are a sanctuary, that means that they're going to do the most that they can do to protect the people that are working there and that are staying there.
Okay.
It is, I say at the risk of them getting raided, it's for people to go there to find help.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then last but not least, I want you to know your rights as an immigrant. So I'm speaking to our listeners right now who are immigrants, and those of our listeners who might have parents that are susceptible, or cousins, or
friends. Yeah.
Pass this on. So United We Dream created an infographic called Know Your Rights. It is in English, Spanish, Chinese, Korean, and Arabic. So basically, it says what to do if ICE comes to your door. So I'm going to break it down.
Cool.
And I will post the link so you can get your own infographic just to have on handy too.
Yeah.
So, the first one is do not open doors. ICE cannot come in without a signed warrant. Do not let them in. They cannot come in.
Mm.
Remain silent. ICE can use anything that you say in a case against you. So repeat the phrase, I plead the fifth, and don't say anything to them because they will use it. Do not sign. If you are presented with anything to sign from ICE, do not sign it. Report and record. We all have smart devices on us now. It's been hell of useful for the Black Lives Matter movement, for the police brutality movement. Report, take pictures, take videos, note badge numbers, note the number of agents and the type of car, because it will help other people when you're letting them know that the IC raids have been in your area. And then last but not least, fight back. Get a lawyer. You can get a lawyer. If you have been detained, you might be able to post bail. So don't just give up. Try and get those bail bonds to get you out of there so you could get a lawyer and fight the fight that you need to fight. Yeah. So last but not least, if you see an immigration agent, this is for all of us, report them to the United We Dream Migra Watch Help Hotline. And that is at 1-844-363-1423. And I'm going to repeat that. 1-844-363-1423. And this is like near to my heart because my grandmother was an immigrant. And I feel like if she wasn't able to come here, I wouldn't be who I am today. You know, this is a country filled with immigrants, and I think it's incredibly hypocritical for us to be saying that people who are very targeted aren't allowed to be here. We don't see people being like, get those Swedes out of here. We don't see people being like, get, you know, I'm tired of those Germans coming over here. No. We are targeting specific groups of people because of racism.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, when you were talking about this and you drew the parallels between the Black Lives Matter movement and what's been helpful, everybody, this is a war on black and brown folks, specific black and brown folks. That is what is happening in large numbers. And like you said, this didn't just come with Trump. This has been bubbling for generations and for centuries. And it is time to stand up and fight back, because it's literally, you know, I'm doing this show called Bent that takes place in 1936 of Germany. And, you know, before they were rounding up all of the Jews, they were rounding up LGBT folks. They were like, and they were putting those pink triangles on them. And this is like 1936, before the Final Solution, well before. And so this is like the we can see it. We know where this ladder goes until they came, you know, it says that poem, like they went for the, you know, they're going for each one of these groups until they come for you. And that's what it's coming down to. And there's gonna be no one else to speak out for you. So it's like, we have to speak out for each other and stronger together. It's like they came for the Muslims and the Latinos, and we said, fuck no.
Yes.
That was a protest sign I saw at the Women's Day March.
It.
They came for them and we said, fuck no. That's what you have to do.
That's why I'm all about people using social media to vent, to be outraged, to be upset. But I mean,
but
spend some time to fight.
It.
Spend some time to do something positive and really fight against this long march towards sadness that we don't want to go to.
Yeah, we don't want to. And so thank you for giving us such wonderful, empowering tools and information, because we don't want to be Ben Carson's. Who's that lady?
Well, I'm that lady.
Married lady.
Am married. Yeah.
So one of our Minority Corner kids, they're officially a year behind in the podcast.
Oh.
And they're messaging me like, it's a friend of ours, Blake.
Oh, I was going to be like, Chicago. Wow, personal? You get in deep.
I had to like rewind this.
You get in deep.
They called me up and we like talk about stuff. Yeah. No, but he was like, he's like literally a year behind. He's like, all right, my goal is to binge one episode a week. I don't know if that's really binging. That's
just listening. Just listening.
But he's a year behind. So he's like, I'm going to binge on one episode a week.
Yeah.
And then he was like, he just texted me. He's like, Aneke just got married.
Meanwhile, I'm legit coming up on my 1 year anniversary.
I know. Like, I actually, I'm like, oh my God, I still have a boyfriend back then. Like, man, it was a different year back then.
It was an era. So. It was a different era.
And what's so funny is to listen to this a year from now and he'll be like, hey, that's my shout out.
I know. I do have to give him a shout out because he did do some social media promotion of us.
He has been. Even though he's a year behind, he's still loving it.
He's still pumping it. I am not mad at that.
We must have been really good.
yeah, I've been married for close to almost a year. I got two more. I got to get through this month and next month.
Not get through. You're on your way.
Gotta get through this.
Oh, and we just got a shout out. We just got a shout out from another friend. Jeremy and I are listening to Minority Corner, and I'm in my living room, and I just farted. Oh. Flashback. I don't know what that means. Lots of hearts.
You didn't say the name, did you? Because I don't know if she would want. I love you, though.
I love you and I miss you. Thank you for that.
I love you and I miss you, and I need to come and visit soon, which might be this summer. Secret messages to someone.
People don't. They're like, who is it? They're like, is it me? Is it her? Is it me? Is it me? You would know. So we have a lot of fun things coming up. The Max Fun Drive is going to be kicking out. I think it's March 20th.
For 2 weeks. Is it 1 week or 2 weeks? 2 weeks.
2 weeks. So save them dollars, y'all. I want y'all to make it rain for maximum fun. You know, you go out to the bar, put a little dollar aside to us. You know.
You know what I just found out too?
Find a penny, pick a penny.
For the Max
is that
Fun
like
Drive.
A pickpocket song.
That is a song. That's something. But
find a penny, pick a penny.
When you donate things, you get like cool prizes or like little like thank yous. Like
yes.
So one of my favorite friends / artists, Megan Lynn Cott. All of the art. Not all of the art, but a lot of the art for the Max Fun Drive, and she's creating pins. We're going to have our own pin, James, I think.
And you know what? We think. TBD. But y'all asked for pins, if I do remember, when we were going to do... Y'all asked
for
pins.
Right, you guys wanted some buttons, and we were like,
asking. We were going to do it, but now there's a whole entire system in place to get these buttons made, so get
ready.
So
if you want a pin, and if we do end up getting pins made for our show, donate some money.
You're going to get a pin. It's that easy. And it just keeps like the awesome stuff that's going on Maximum Fun. Love this network. They are Maximum Fun family, if I will. And I can. And we also have a very special episode for those who donate with Ashley Nicole Black. She is a writer and correspondent for Full Frontal with Samantha Bee. Love that show. We have a special bonus episode with her, and she's going to talk about like, you know, what it's like to work on the show. So you don't want to miss out. All you have to do is donate, save some of them dollars, make it rain.
Right. Yes, that's exciting. Wow. Max Confest or Max, yeah.
Con Fun? Max Fun Con.
Max Fun Con.
Max Fun Con.
Is coming up. There's going to be one on the West Coast. That's going to be in June, I believe. And one on the East Coast. That's going to be in September, I believe. And I believe there might be a special appearance from two people, but you know.
From two people who happen to be on both the West and the East Coast. So you might want to get, who are they? Who is it?
I don't know.
They're like, is it Mandy Moore?
Who was on the show This Is Us, which is always about, like, you're going to cry so hard.
That's what I
hear. This Is Us. I don't want to do that.
And Ashley Nicole Black, she swears by that show. She's like, if you want a good cry, you listen to it.
I don't want
to
cry.
So watch it, don't just listen to it. You got to, like, watch it to see, like, the tears.
I see. So, I save all my tears for The Voice.
I thought you were going to say the podcast. Do you really just watch The Voice and cry?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes there's a really moving story.
I don't want to watch The Voice. What I want you to do is just videotape your reactions to The Voice, and I'll watch those.
I would actually legitimately watch that for you.
Could you, or like Facebook live cast, or like I get a private.
No,
like,
it's just for you. I don't want other people to be like, what's Aneke doing?
I want a private link to just you. Reactions and you just like, oh wow, ooh, that
and then
amazing.
Andrew like rolling his eyes in the background.
Ugh, I dream. I don't ask for much in this life.
You are a simple
I don't
man.
Ask.
You
I
are simple.
Simple needs.
Simple for needs. You.
And I am a happy man. That is all I need. Woo! Thank you. God is good, y'all.
Amazing.
Y'all better praise him. God is
Stop
good.
It.
Not
when
today,
did you
Satan.
My auntie.
It's my favorite things to say. Y'all can follow us on social media.
Mm-hmm. Minority Corner with a K at Twitters and Minority Corner with a K on the Gmails and on the Facebooks. Oh, mm-hmm. There's also the Corner Kid Playground.
Mm-hmm.
Still approving like one person per day for that shit. Yeah. So y'all, I gotta, you guys like, keep coming.
To it because she's on it. I'm like, ooh, I wake up a few hours before you because I'm on the East Coast.
I know,
Coast,
but I always like, get it.
I know. Sometimes I'm like, oh, got it. I got one today, so I got it.
Oh, look at that.
It was a college friend of ours, Jeremy K. He's also a year behind in episodes. But
well, you know, at
he'll hear this
listening.
One day. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Jeremy. I miss you.
We am.
James
we miss
doesn't.
All of you
he
listeners.
Just saw you.
I see you all the time. I just chimed in on that. I was like, yeah. Was not listening. Trying to close out this show. We got things to do. Aneke's got titties to flash. She's got spring
break
to
happen. I'm going to the bar, y'all.
She looks cute. I want you to know this is Tuesday night when we're recording this, so just keep that, you know.
That I'm going to the bar?
On a Tuesday night. I just want to.
Hey, you know what? Educators got to have fun.
Well, that's not the catchiest of song. You know what? Educators just got to have fun. Well, you go do your fun thing, girl. And I'm going to go have a respectful dinner with a artist colleague.
Look at you. We're both going to have some nice nights out on the town.
Mine's more classy and respectful because I'm in New York and I have to work the next day. And yours is going to be wild child. I'll have to bail you out of jail.
Yeah, going to a tiki bar.
I know how those go. I've been with you to them before.
Last time I went to that place, I barfed in my husband's car. Anyways.
Can't wait to hear the stories next week. All right. Get that brown paper bag out and have a good time. Happy spring break, y'all.
Yay. Bye. Hey guys, it's Aneke again. I wanted to really emphasize that the Max Fun Drive is coming up and we are working hard on some of the best episodes of the year. We want you guys to tune in during the drive to catch these extra awesome episodes and hear about the exclusive thank you gifts that we have in store for new and upgrading members. They are seriously amazing. Like, seriously, I've seen them. Plus, it's your chance to show your support for Minority Corner, of course, us, you're listening to us, and help us reach our highest goal ever, 10,000 new and upgrading Max Fun members. The 2017 Max Fun Drive kicks off on March 20th and runs for just 2 weeks. So in the meantime, visit MaximumFun.org for details and don't miss it.
My name is Patrick.
My name is Parker.
Max Fun Con has been a huge inspiration in my life.
And now I have this network of friends that I've made that span literally across the entire globe, and they're some of my favorite people in the world.
I truly cannot believe the amount of wonderful and lasting friendships that have come out of this.
If you feel like you might not fit in, as long as you're a good person, you'll fit in because everyone there is good and amazing and kind and wonderful, and you should absolutely go. It will be the best decision of your life.
Make a ton of new friends like Parker and Patrick at Max FunCon. Tickets for Max FunCon and Max FunCon East are on sale now at maxfuncon.com.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.